Today, Eric Semmel, Tab Computer, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturdays here on WTIC News Talk today. First of all, good morning.
Morning, sir.
So after we've talked a lot about energy and electricity and nuclear, but you had a whole hour on it last week. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Peter Kelly Detweiler came on and talked to us about how the electric grid works, about all the issues that are part of this electric grid and all the issues we're going to have going forward. We are way behind when it comes to...
We as in Connecticut or we as in America or
America.
We as in the world?
Probably the world too, but America is pushing these data centers. We're pushing all this electrifying the cars and all that, and we just don't have the infrastructure in place to deal with it. And Peter had a great, just discussed all about the electric grid, just the amazing cool technologies that are out there. Did you know you can actually store electricity in iron balls?
I did not.
I didn't either. Big iron balls up in Maine.
There's big iron balls.
Big iron balls. I know. Trust me. And basically, when they rust, they release electricity, and you can actually store electricity in there, and you actually save half of it.
Well, the next big battleground, from what I read, is batteries. I mean, because say solar doesn't work for everybody because the sun's not out all the time. But if you could successfully store that energy, it could work.
It could work. And we even talked about that a little bit as far as distributed. We talked about distributed energy where you've got the solar panels, then you've got your batteries. And if you could use AI to figure out when those cars that are plugged into your house could actually sell back to the grid power that we need, we might be able to figure all this out. But it's years down the line. And again, we're pushing these deals where this legislature wants us to be a big data center hub here in Connecticut, but they haven't thought about how they're going to power it. And when you plop a data center next to Millstone, according to Peter, it's going to increase our electric bills as well, based
just
on the way the model is set.
Demand will go, usage will go up so much.
It could. Yeah, it's going to use half the power there. So if the model stays the way it is and we don't charge more for the power to a data center, then we're going to all pay the freight, as we have been seeing
lately. I thought Millstone was a fixed cost. So if costs go up to a certain level, then it actually saves you money. But it's still at a high number.
It's at a fixed rate. But it's lower than the renewals that are out there. The renewables that are out there are three times those
rates. Well, that's what the conversation with Vince Candelora, the Republican leader, is that, you know, it's good to have multiple sources. But if we underwrite renewables so much that it doesn't get less expensive, then it's a total boondoggle.
Right.
And I do believe market forces eventually handle it, but solar and wind have never taken real root. And some people think it's just because it doesn't make sense. Other people think it's because we need to underwrite it until they find a cheap enough way to make it.
If the math made sense, we'd all be chucking them on our roofs, but you can get a better return on your investment on $20,000 than you can on saving a few bucks on your electric bill.
Right.
And if the math made more sense, we'd do it. If they let us sell back the energy at a rate that made sense to the person who put it on his roof, maybe that would make more sense.
See, to me, that is the piece of the puzzle that I don't really think about that much, and that people don't talk about it, is that when you have excess power, if you could get compensated for selling it back into the system, that would make a lot of sense. He's Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. Again, you can listen to Computer Talk with Tab on Saturdays, 9 to 11. Let's get into some consumer-y things. I guess I'll start with electric vehicles then, because, you know, I remember hearing that you could, like, find a way to jury-rig Teslas to watch movies on their big screens and stuff. But so now you can do it on most electric vehicles, and then how do they make sure you can't do it while you're driving?
Well, that's the thing. So Farfignugan here, Volkswagen, is bringing casual multiplayer games to their electric car. So you can sit there while you're waiting for your car to charge over the 45 minutes to an hour it takes you to juice that thing up. You can sit there and play video games on the big screens. Yes, Teslas too. You can watch videos and movies and stuff like that.
But only when it's stopped.
Supposedly, yeah. Same thing with this Volkswagen. Only when it's stopped. The key is they're trying to give you something to do while you're kind of cranky that your car takes 45 minutes to charge or an hour, however long it takes. You know, if you got some trickle charger out there in the middle of Saskatchewan, what are you going
to
do?
But you don't have to, like, hack the system. It's totally, as long as the car stops, it's easy to interface. And I guess you use your phone as a controller.
It's really built into the Volkswagen. And obviously they want to give you something to do rather than think about why your car keeps, you know, sitting there. My wife would remind me every second, can we go? Can we go?
Right.
Can we go?
No.
You want to play some video games? No. So we don't have an electric car yet.
So we don't either, although my daughter has pushed me very hard to make the next one.
Yeah.
An electric car, maybe I'd consider hybrid, but I still think that the cost benefit's not quite there yet.
Nope.
For me,
the math again.
If I had an inexhaustible amount of funds, it would be different. We did a renovation,
yeah,
and you know, we put in, we did like a smart thermostat. We didn't do a Nest. And do you have to rewire your whole house for it to work? Because I don't understand how you can have some digital thing that all of a sudden you can like go on your phone and change the temperature without rewiring your whole house.
Yeah. So I've been dying to put a Nest thermostat in my house since they first came out. And to your point, I have like 6 wires in my thermostat. And at the third gen, so I woke up and I said, I wonder if Nest has a way to do this. And they actually have a Nest wiring adapter that would adapt this C wire that sometimes, as they say, is not always required. But in my case, it is, that you'd put on the actual zone controller to allow for the Nest to work. So I'm like, Eureka, I found the solution. And I go to Home Depot to go buy it. Well, then the Gen 3 is gone, and now they got the Gen 4.
So there's a new, so, and it won't do that.
The Gen 4 doesn't talk about using this wiring adapter. It says it's more compatible than the Gen 3. So I got to go out and decide to drop $275. There is a rebate, I think, out there of like $85 from the power company.
Yeah. Right.
You and me, though.
Right.
So thank you, Brian, for me to buy my Gen 4 and give it a shot. But I would think that wiring adapter is out there. So basically, no, you don't have to rewire your whole
house.
Then
how does it talk to the system?
So you have a bunch of wires that are connecting to your thermostat. And then back, what you have to do is use these adapters that Google's come up with to try to manipulate how some of the wires work. And they kind of splice them together in this little wiring dongle to allow for the signals to go where they're supposed to go. In this case, the Nest wants to get charged. And if you don't have enough juice coming off your R wire, you have to figure out how to get it off the C wire. In my case, I don't have a C. And I had an HVAC company come in and say, oh, for $1,500, we'll run some new wires. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $1,500 plus $200 on my smart thermostat.
So you do basically, to do it the right way, you really do have to put new wiring.
No, you don't. You don't. So the Gen 4 is probably just not linked to that device, that little wiring harness that they have out yet. And I don't know why Google hasn't done it, because I think they're trying to say, try it as it is naked, and you may not need to rewire. But no, the hope is you don't have to rewire. And it'll solve the button smashing that I have with my kids when they come over after. They literally sneak into our bedroom and knock that thing down to 68.
Yeah, my kids upstairs will put it so cold, and I'm like, I've had that conversation. Yeah,
but the beauty of the Nest is, if I set the schedule, it goes right back. Right. I can defeat them.
You can
without
defeat
even
them.
Waking up.
Eric Semma from Tab Computer joining us here in Brian and Company. A couple of some really interesting items this week. The people who blur their homes on Google Maps. There's two questions. Mm-hmm. There's the why, and then to me, there's also the how.
Yeah. So in the safe state of California, the people are finding that they want to blur their homes because they don't want their bad guys to sit there and research and say, oh, let's go see what Brian's house looks like. Oh, okay. It's a really nice house. I think I'll go and
burgle it. And there's evidence that happens?
Yeah. And it's a means of deterring folks from doing it. I mean, the idea that, you know, folks are actually doing it. Now, if you're blurring your house, maybe the bad guys say, it's a blurred house. I should go after that first.
So basically, that's why they're doing it, because it makes it harder to do surveillance or, you know, for burglars. But how do they do it?
They're going onto the Google Maps configuration and blurring this out. You just go.
Is that easy to do?
I think it is easy to do. Yeah, I actually consider doing it. Just to play with it before the show coming up on Saturday. But it's basically a step-by-step. And we actually, all the discussions we have on Tech Tuesday and Computer Talk, we actually have the articles so you can refer to them so you don't have to remember what we're talking about. But going on there and blurring your house is not a big deal. It's basically an option.
Where can people find those articles on your...
We do it on the posts that we make on our Facebook pages, on the Facebook Live that we're doing, over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's all there for you. So you can always review these articles so that you hear.
We only have 30 seconds. This is important for consumers out there. Why do they have to update their Chrome?
You update it now because there's an open exploit happening. So just go to about of your Chrome browser, let it auto update. There's a major exploit that's happening with Chrome because
what's an exploit?
It's basically a vulnerability that the bad guys are using to gain access to your
stuff.
System. Yeah,
your stuff.
Just update your Chrome ASAP.
You know, we didn't get into the lawsuit against Georgia Tech, but we can do that another time. You know, that's not so interesting. A lot of interesting stuff. I really think it's great that you took the conversation we had and got a guest on it. Yeah. So where can people find that interview with
You can subscribe to Odyssey's podcast. Go to WTIC.com and go to the Odyssey podcast area there. Go to Computer Talk and subscribe to the Odyssey podcast there. And it's last week's last hour of the program.
Nice. All right, Eric Semmel, Tab Computer, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 every Saturday morning here on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's good to see you, bud.
You too, Brian.